Ezekiel, Daniel, Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel 34. We're looking at different aspects of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and about what we can learn about how to walk as He walked. And one of the titles of Jesus Christ in the Bible, and the one that I'd like to focus on here with you in this next segment, is Jesus Christ, the Chief Shepherd. We're going to look at shepherding and under-shepherding here in this section of this teaching series. In the Bible, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Shepherd of our souls. In another place, He's called the Good Shepherd. In another, He's called the Great Shepherd. And in another, He's called the Chief Shepherd. So definitely one of the aspects of His ministry that God puts a lot of emphasis on is this shepherding and the taking care of sheep. And throughout God's Word, God uses a lot of different ways to show His relationship with His people. And one of the ones that recurs all over the place in the Bible, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the Gospels, it's in places in the book of Acts and in the epistles, is the relationship between sheep and a shepherd. Because the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep is a very tender one. A very loving one. They live together. They move together. They have great love and care and concern one toward another. So this concept of the shepherd with the sheep is one of the ways in the Bible that God shows His love and concern for people. And Jesus Christ, when He came to make known God. He came to make known the love and tenderness and care and concern that God has for His people. And one of the great ways that He did that was by talking to people about shepherds and sheep. You know, it's interesting how many of the great men of God in the Bible were shepherds. They learned how to take care of sheep and therefore how to take care of people at an early age as shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Amos. These were all shepherds in the Bible. Played a very big role in people learning about God and about how to take care of people. Jesus Christ, as our example as the shepherd, will allow us to learn some wonderful things about how to take care of people. There's some interesting parallels between sheep and people. Sheep have a tendency to get all wrapped up in what's right in front of them and not to lift their eyes and look at what's going on around. They don't kind of pay attention sometimes to what's up ahead, to whether they're getting close to a cliff, or whether there's danger nearby. Sheep need to be led to be guided, or they get confused or lost or hurt. And sheep, like people, trust people who love them and take care of them, people who have proven to them that they're concerned about them and that they care about them. To first see how people are to be shepherded or under-shepherded, we're going to look at a record in the Old Testament where God said that the shepherds of His people were not doing a good job. Well, let's see what it's not here. In Ezekiel 34, in verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," we're in Ezekiel 34, verse 1, "the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." And here he's talking about the leaders of the people here. "Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed who?
Themselves.
Should not the shepherds feed who?
The flocks.
A good shepherd is not supposed to be just concerned about taking care of himself. He's supposed to be concerned about taking care of the people. And these particular leaders were not. Verse 3, "You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you don't feed the flock." Verse 4, "The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." So a lot in there about what they were not doing. And of course, that also tells us a number of things that a good shepherd and somebody who takes care of people should do. For example, instead of feeding the people, it says they fed themselves, right? They were concerned about themselves instead of being concerned about the people. Instead of comforting and binding up the wounds and taking care of people when they were hurt and bringing healing, they ignored people's hurts and illnesses. Instead of going looking for and helping people who had been driven away or gotten lost to bring them back and take care of them, they didn't have the concern to try to help them. They didn't even go looking for them. And instead of ruling God's people with love and kindness, they ruled with force and with cruelty. Some interesting contrast there about how to take care of people and how they weren't being taken care of in this case. And really interesting here in this context here in Ezekiel, a long time before the Lord Jesus Christ, God promised that he was going to send his people one who would properly shepherd and take care of them. In Ezekiel 34, in the same chapter, look down at verse 23. After talking about the proper way to shepherd and the improper way, God says in verse 23, "And I, God, verse 23, will set up one shepherd over them, and he's going to feed them." And then he says, "Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Now, there's a strange thing about that verse, because at the time Ezekiel was living, David had been dead for hundreds of years. God says he's going to send David, except that David had already come and gone at this point. In the Bible, remember when Steve was reading us names and titles of Jesus Christ, one of the ones we looked at was that he would be the root and offspring of David. The Messiah, the Savior, was going to be a descendant of David. He was going to be born in the city of David, and he was going to sit on David's throne. So in some places in the Bible, the Christ, the Messiah, is referred to as David because he would be out of the line of David. He was the successor to David, who was the man after God's own heart. So God says he's going to send a man who's like David, who has God's heart, who's really going to take care of people the way they're supposed to be taken care of, a true shepherd, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 5. So in a prophecy all the way back in Ezekiel, God had promised that he would send his people a genuine shepherd who had God's heart, and that would be Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're looking for how we can imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we take care of people with God's heart? How can we be those ones who feed and who take care of and who love and who lead and who bind up the wounds of God's people so that they can see God's care and God's love? In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 2, the exhortation is, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples," or examples, be an example, not a lord, "to the flock." And verse 4 says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear," that's talking about Jesus Christ, he's coming back, "when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So Jesus Christ here is called the chief shepherd. And in the Bible lands and times, if you had a big flock, there would always be a chief shepherd. He would be the one who is overall in charge of taking care of that flock. And under the chief shepherd, there might be four or five or more shepherds under the chief shepherd. And they were under shepherds. There's a chief shepherd and there are under shepherds, ones who help take care of the flock under the direction of the chief shepherd. And sometimes the chief shepherd would have to leave. The chief shepherd would have to go ahead and look for good grazing grounds. Where is their grass? Where is their water? Where can we have the sheep sleep where they'll be protected? He has to go on ahead, and when he's gone, he leaves the under-shepherds in charge to take care of the flock while he goes ahead to scout out where they're going to be in the future. And that's exactly what's happened, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, has gone ahead. He's been raised from the dead. He's ascended. He's gone to the right hand of God. And while he's gone scouting out the next place we're going to be, we are in charge as under-shepherds while he's gone. And we have to carry the heart. We have to carry the same love, the same concern, the same tenderness, and the instructions of the chief shepherd in taking care of the people while he's gone. So let's see what we can learn about loving and taking care of people from this section here. Let's look at it again here. It says in verse 2, feed the flock of God. This word feed that's used here is a word that means a lot more than just simply to give food. It includes the whole office of the shepherd, everything the shepherd does. The shepherd doesn't just feed the sheep. He does all those things we saw in Ezekiel. He guides them. He leads them. He protects them. He guards them. He binds up their wounds. He heals them. He comforts them. And he feeds them as well. So when it says feed the flock of God, it's really the whole ministry of a shepherd. It's the whole taking care of the flock. Everything that they would need, that shepherd is to provide. It's pastoring or shepherding in the complete sense of the word. And then it says taking the oversight thereof. A shepherd is to oversee the flock. And that word oversee means to see how they are. You look to see what you can do for them. You're not looking at them to see where they're messing up. You're looking at them. The shepherd is looking to see, is there anyone in the flock I can bless? What can I do for you? And in order to see what I can do for you, if you might have a need, I have to look at you, right? I have to watch over you. I have to spend time seeing. I can't be ignoring you. So the shepherd is to look to see how they are and to look to see what he can do for them. And we don't do this. We don't serve people. We don't love people. We don't take care of people by constraint. Nobody makes us do it. And we don't do it for filthy lucre. We don't do it because somebody pays us to do it. We don't do it because we're going to get some benefit. But we do it, it says, the reason for loving people this way and taking care of this people is we do it of a ready mind. Some of you might remember Jesus Christ, after he got up from the dead, he was on the road to Emmaus with two guys, right? And after he shared the word with them, what did they say about their hearts? Their hearts burned within them, right? Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us by the way and opened the scriptures? That words where it says our hearts burned within us, that's this ready mind. To take care, same word, to take care of God's people this way, to have that love and concern, your heart has to burn to do that. You have to have a passion for it, a love for it, to really want to take care of God's people. We under shepherd, we pastor, we love people because the word of God burns in our hearts. Because we have a burning love for God's people. A passion to help people know God by way of his word. Without that fire, without that passion to love and take care of people, it can't be done. And that fire, that passion, that love comes from appreciating what God has done for us. When we see how God loves us, when we see how God takes care of us, when we see his concern for every detail in our lives, we want other people to have that. We want them to know that God. We want them to know the wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to know his great love as well. So then in our hearts, because we recognize what God has done for us, we want them to have that too. And then we're willing to do anything to help them have that. It says, not being lords over God's heritage, the way to shepherd properly, to help people, to take care of people, is to not be lords. We're not here to give orders, right? The Lord is the one who gives orders. He's the boss. We're not the boss over God's people when we're helping people. We're not here to give orders to people, but we're here to be examples. We don't just tell people to do God's word, but we set the example. If I want to help somebody learn to study God's word, it might be a good idea if I studied God's word, right? And then maybe we could get together and study God's word together. If I want to help somebody to learn to speak God's word, perhaps it's a good idea if I speak God's word and maybe take them with me. If I want someone to see the greatness of God's prosperity, the law of giving and receiving, tithing, all these things, then it'd be a great thing if I tithe, and then I could share the blessings of God in my life, how I've seen God bless me, and they can see how God has prospered me, and then that example will motivate them to want to try it out too. We teach by word and by example. Jesus Christ certainly did that, didn't he? Jesus Christ didn't sit in an office and tell the disciples, okay, guys, go out there and help them, right? He was out there with them. He was on the roads. He was in the boat. He was in the villages. He was in the synagogue. He was sleeping with them, walking with them, talking with them, eating with them. He taught the word, absolutely, but he also shepherded by example. He lived the love of God, and they saw that, and they wanted it. That's why they came to him, and they said, Lord, you know, we want to walk like you do. Increase our believing, right? Let's see some more of Jesus Christ as our great example of how to conduct ourselves as good shepherds. Look at John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10. This is one of the great sections about Jesus Christ as the shepherd. A lot we can learn in here if we want to help people. And this is not just for fellowship coordinators or people who aspire to be leaders or something like that. This is just the life of a believer. This is just helping people. We want to help people with God's word. We want to help people to know God and to know the Lord Jesus Christ by way of his word. And here is great principles on how to help people the way God wants them helped. How to show somebody else God's heart by your life. It's fantastic. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus Christ talks a little bit about why he came. John 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what?
Life."
Life. And not only life, not just struggling to get by, but that they might have it how? More abundantly. That's why Jesus Christ came as the good shepherd, so that people could have the life of God and have life more abundantly. And you know, that's our purpose too. That's our mission. We're on a mission for God, right? Our desire, our heart, to see God's heart for other people, to help people to receive the light of God's word and to help them to receive the life that Christ came to make available. So how do we do that? Let's look at the context of this verse. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 10. Let's see what context this is set in. John chapter 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily," Jesus Christ says, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold," the sheepfold is where the sheep sleep at night, "he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a what? And a what? And a robber," a thief and a robber. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter, the doorman, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by what? By name, and leadeth them out." This is really neat. It says he calls, the shepherd calls each sheep, his own sheep, by name. You know, in the Bible times, a shepherd had names for every sheep, and he knew every sheep individually. To us who weren't raised with sheep, you know, that seems very strange. They all look like sheep. You know, what do I know? You know, we got black ones and white ones. I don't know. But he knew every single sheep individually and knew each one's name. And they follow the voice, says he calleth them. They hear his voice. They follow his voice. They submit to his authority because he's proven his love and care for them. Sheep know who loves them, and so do people. When a person has fed them, protected them, loved them, bound up their wounds when they got hurt, comforted them, taken care of them, then that person wins their trust or their confidence. And it's that way with people too. Somebody once said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's a neat statement. You know, we know lots of the Bible, and that's great. Praise God. I'm thankful for that, and I, you know, want to learn more. But when we're out trying to help people to see God, to see the heart of God, to have the life that Christ came to make available, they're not all that concerned about this great knowledge of the word that you have until they see your concern for them. You love them, you demonstrate God's heart to them, and then they'll want to know why you're that way. And then you can help them with God's word. We need to get to God's word. But first, what draws people is not our great knowledge of the word. What draws people is the love. And the shepherd wins the sheep's trust and confidence and willingness to follow and to learn by loving them, by taking care of them. They know his voice. They know that he's the one who has taken care of them, protected them, loved them, and won their trust. That trust, that respect has to be earned. If you want people to have a respect for your walk with God and to be able to help them with and open up their lives to you, you have to earn that by your love and concern for them with God's word. Well, let's look at, keep reading here. Verse 4 says, let's read verse 7. It says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, this is neat, too, because in the Bible lands in the East, what they would do is they'd make a wall for the sheep to sleep in at night, and the wall would be made of stones or out of brush. And on top of that, they'd put thorn bushes so no wild animals could climb up and get in. And then there wasn't a wood door out of wood or anything like that. What there would be an opening that the sheep could go in and out of. And then what the shepherd would do at night, he'd make sure all the sheep were safely tucked inside the sheepfold, and then he would lay across the door and lay there at night and usually not sleep very much and protect them. He would be the door, literally. With his life, with his body, he would stand between them and anything coming to get them. So you could only get in if you went through the shepherd. If a thief or a wolf or anyone seeking to harm the sheep was going to come in, they'd have to go through the shepherd first. That's shepherding. That's under-shepherding. The shepherd puts his own life between people and the attacks. When someone or something threatens to steal God's word from his people that we serve, or someone or something tries to hurt them, then we're there. And we have the sword of the Spirit, don't we? What's the sword of the Spirit?
The word of God.
The word of God. And we can stand and watch over them by prayer. And we have the manifestations of the power of Holy Spirit to operate as well. We can fight with all of those. The word, prayer, and the manifestations. We watch over people. We take care of them. We don't allow harmful things spiritually to get to them. We put our lives between them and the attack. Look at verse 9. I am the door, he says again. If by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The pasture for the sheep symbolized a place of abundance, of peace, of safety, and where they could go and they could eat, be quiet, be peaceful, where they'd be protected. Well, that's what we want to be for people. We want for people by our lives to be able to find the salvation that's available in Jesus Christ. The abundant peace, the rest, the sustenance, the protection that's available by getting born again of God's Spirit and having a relationship with God. We can be that door for people that leads into God's abundance via his word. We read verse 10. Let's look at verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. There's one of his titles. The good shepherd giveth his life for the what? Well, that's the heart, the commitment of the shepherd. It's a ready mind. It's a burning passion. It's a heart to let people know the love of God. And in our case, God doesn't ask us to die for people. Jesus Christ did that so we wouldn't have to. What God asks us to do for people is to give our lives in service to them by way of the word. We were born to live, but we were born again to serve. Our lives no longer belong to us. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and our lives are given in service to God's people. We commit ourselves to help people, to do anything that we can to help them to get to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ by way of the word. Whatever we can do for them, we're there. And you know, the shepherd doesn't just drop by and check in on the sheep once in a while. Well, I see you're still here. Okay, good. Right, he's with them. When we're taking care of somebody, if we're under-shepherding somebody, it's good to spend as much time as we can with that person or with those people. That's a wonderful. That's how shepherds do it. That's how they help people. When they have a need, we're there with God's word. Our lives are no longer the priority, but their lives are. Remember, God's problem with the shepherds in Ezekiel was that they were taking care of themselves instead of taking care of his people. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, there it is again, and know my sheep and am known of mine. That's wonderful. This, in both cases where it says, I know my sheep and they know me, they're known of mine. Both of those words are to know by experience, to know intimately. He says he knew them intimately, his people.
and they knew him intimately. Well, how does that happen? The only way that happens is if you spend time together. And that's really neat. They knew him and he knew them. Why? Because they'd spent time together. You know, in the fellowship, I don't just try to spend time with people in the fellowship. You know, I know something about them. I know their families. If they have kids, I know their kids. I've gone to their home. I know where they work. And they know about my life. We share our lives. We know each other. We have, you know, a relationship. We know by experience, by living life together. They know you and you know them because you've spent time. You've shown that concern about every part of their lives. That's shepherding with the heart of God. That's how you show somebody God's concern, by your concern. Because if I don't know them personally by experience, if I don't have an intimate knowledge of the people, how do I know what to help them with? How do I know what they need? Otherwise, I just sit up here and, you know, teach something and see if maybe by accident I hit the need. Well, that's not going to help them very much. That's not under shepherding. I need to know their lives so I can help them, and them to know my life so they can help me. We all need to help each other. It's a family, and a family has to spend time together. Family gets together to make sure needs are met and to be refreshed, and then the family goes out together to bring that deliverance, that heart, that love to others and invite them to be a part of the family. That's God's heart. Let's look at Psalm 23 here. This is very familiar, but let's look at it in light of how we can manifest God's heart in shepherding and under-shepherding and pastoring people, which is just another way of saying loving people with the love of God. Jesus Christ came to make known God, especially to make known God's love, God's care, God's concern. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has made it possible for us to do that too? That we can so manifest God's love and concern that by our lives they could see God's goodness, God's heart, God's concern, and want to know God more. That sure is a wonderful privilege. In Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't lack anything that I need." The shepherd not only feeds, once again, but the shepherd supplies all that the person needs. We do everything in our power to help people to get to know God and to learn and to apply God's word so that their needs are met. Verse 2 says, "He, the shepherd, makes me to lie down in green pastures." And that's beautiful, because the best food for a sheep is that nice, tender green grass, not that old dry brown lawn like we're seeing now because there's no water out there. You know, then the grass gets chewy and tough. But the best food is that nice green grass. So the shepherd goes looking for those nice green pastures. He finds the best food for the people. Well, we need to see how we can give people the best spiritual food. How can we teach them those things that will give them the most spiritual nutrition and strength? It says, "He leads me beside still waters." Sheep are funny. Sheep won't drink from fast-moving water. It's just one of those funny things about sheep. They won't do it. So what the shepherd does is he makes a little pool. He kind of cuts out a little edge of the bank there, makes a little pond, and then he diverts the water that's rushing by in the stream. He lets the water flow into there so it's nice and quiet so that they can drink. You notice it says he leads me beside still waters. It doesn't say he drags the sheep to the water and makes them drink. You! It doesn't work that way. Right? You lead them to it and you make it as inviting as possible. He makes the water so that they can drink, so that they're blessed with it, so they can receive it. Can't drag anybody into loving God or His Word, but we can sure make it as inviting as possible by the love of God and providing good food and drink spiritually. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod is what we think of as the shepherd's crook. It's that big pole with a hook at the top. And there would be like a sharp edge inside that crook. And what the crook did was you could reach up when there's not enough grass to eat. You could reach up into the trees and cut down leaves with that and bring down nice green leaves for the sheep to eat. when there's no pasture. And the staff is like a club, a big thing like a bat, you know, that he wore on his belt. And you use that when the wild animals come. They try and attack the lions, the bears. Remember David said a lion came and attacked the sheep when he was a young boy, and he beat off the lion, and a bear came and he beat off the bear. Well, you use your staff for that. It's protection when the wild animals attack. Well, when a person is standing and loving and protecting and taking care of people, then they don't need to be afraid, because we're there to help them. We're there to help fight for them. If the adversary attacks, we defend ourselves and people with prayer, with the word, with manifestations. And, you know, sometimes when we're trying to help people, you know, they're not always right. They don't always do things right. Sometimes we get ourselves into situations that aren't the best by our own bad decisions. So we still fight for people. It's not that we agree with maybe bad decisions that they've made or a direction that they're going that isn't the best, but we sure don't agree with the adversary hitting them or attacking them, do we? You know, it's a family. Look, my kids don't always do what I'd like for them to do either. But whether they do what I like for them to do or not, if somebody else comes in from the outside and takes a crack at them, boy, there's war. You know, I just don't allow it. It's not acceptable. Doesn't mean they're right all the time, but I don't let people hurt them, even if they're wrong. Now, then I take them aside and tell them they're wrong. You know, I try to help them correct them. But boy, we're a family. We stand for God's people. We love God's people. We pray for them. We operate manifestations. We share the word with people. We don't let the adversary take a crack at God's people. It doesn't mean they're always right, but our job is to love them, not to criticize them, to bind up their wounds, not to hurt them, and to protect them. That's how we love them, with the love of God. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." This is neat. Prepare a table. That shows the personal care of the shepherd. You know, out there in the wild, the wolves and the lions and the bears and all these things, the wolves, when the hard times hit, nobody takes care of them. But even when the hard times hit, the shepherd makes sure that the sheep are taken care of, makes sure they have food to eat, make sure they have water to drink, make sure they're taken care of. The shepherd shows personal care and concern and love for the sheep at all times. Doesn't happen for these other animals. That's prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies. My enemies, those who don't love God, they may not be doing so well. They may have lack, but boy, we make sure that God's people are taken care of, no matter what's going on around. Yeah, the economy's bad. Yeah, this, that, and the other. Well, you know what? Who should be taken care of? God's people. Because God takes care of us, and because we take care of each other, we make sure that God's people are taken care of. That's preparing a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. If a sheep falls or gets injured, then the shepherd puts him up on his shoulders, carries him home, bandages him, and then he pours oil in that wound and bandages it. He makes sure it heals up. And the shepherd would stay with that sheep until that sheep was healed. He'd pay special attention to that sheep, speak comfortingly to it, take his flute and play little songs for it to comfort it. That's how they would do that. He'd talk to it while they were walking, and he'd just take care of that sheep, nurse it back to health. You know, we're not a respecter of persons. We don't play favorites among God's people, but sometimes people have more of a need than at other times. And so they need more attention. They need more care. They need more love at certain times in their lives than others. So we spend that time with them. That doesn't mean we love them more than other people in the fellowship or they're more important, but at that moment they have a bigger need, and that's love. If the sheep's injured and needs healing, then you stay with it and you heal it and you help it and you comfort it. My cup runneth over, it says. In the sheepfold, each sheep had its own bucket for water. And then the shepherd, when he brought them back in, he'd fill that bucket until it was overflowing to represent the abundance of God to them. We just give them everything we can of God's word. Give them an abundance of it so that they're blessed and taken care of. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. This sheep and the shepherd figure of speech, and that's what it is. We're not literally sheep, of course. And Jesus Christ is our big brother and our Lord, so many other great things. But this figure of speech God uses to show this wonderful heart, this tenderness, this love, this concern,
And if we want to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to be able to help people like the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to be able to help people to see God like the Lord Jesus Christ did, then we can sure learn a lot by his example as the shepherd and all the things that God has in here about under-shepherding people so that they can see God. That's the whole point. So they can have God's peace, God's goodness, God's abundance, God's prosperity, so that God can take care of them. But we represent God. So we want to love them with that love of God. In verse 27, this is the Apostle Paul, who also practiced these things, following the example of Christ. Acts 20, 27, Paul says to the believers in Ephesus here, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the what?" Yeah, where do we find the counsel of God? The Word of God, that's right. Under shepherding above all is to give people God's Word. We give them God's Word so they're not confused. We give them God's Word so they don't get lost. We give them God's Word so they're nourished and grow. We give them God's Word so they're comforted and healed. We give them God's Word. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus Christ did. Verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost, God, has made you overseers to feed the church of God." And the rest of that verse is not in the original text. You can cross it out. To feed the church of God. It's pretty neat. It starts with saying, take heed to yourselves. You can't take care of other people unless we take care of ourselves and our relationship with God first. Remember, it said we're not to be lords, but examples. If I'm going to be an example to people of walking in God's Word, then I'm going to have to take some time to study God's Word and build my relationship with God, take my time in prayer, and do the things I need to build my relationship with God so I can be an example. That is the key to under-shepherding. So we've got to take heed to ourselves, and we have to take heed to the flock, to the wonderful people that God has given us the privilege to oversee, to look over. Remember, oversee, we saw in Peter, is to look to see what you can do for them. It's not to look to see what you can order them to do. It's to look to see how they're doing and what you can do to help them. And to feed the church of God. And once again, that word feed is not just feeding. It's that word that means the whole office of the shepherd. All of that great stuff. To guide, to guard, to lead, to feed, to bind up the wounds. Not to criticize, not to destroy, not to put heavy burdens on them, but to serve them. Not to injure them, but to bind up the wounds and to be tender. And they need to be fed with food that's appropriate to them. You don't give a 3-month-old baby, you know, churrasco. They can't digest it, right? And adults need more than just applesauce to live on. So part of the feeding is to make sure that each person at their stage of growing up has the food they need to stay healthy, to stay strong, and to grow. It says, take heed to all the flock. One more interesting thing about this flock here is that in the Bible there are two words for flock. There's one for a big flock and one for a little small group of sheep, like maybe 12 to 20 or 24 or so. This word here is for the small flock. And this is one of the reasons why we have fellowships in the home in small groups. See, no one person or even a couple of people can take care of some huge group of people. You can't know them intimately. You can't know what's going on in their lives. You can't be involved with them on a day-to-day basis. You can't help them in the personal way that they need help. So the design of God in taking care of his people as a family was to live and to move and to walk the word of God in small flocks, in little families, in fellowships. And that's one of the reasons why we do it the way we do, because of this. There are other places in the Bible that says it too, but this is one of the reasons. In a small group, because we can take care of each other, we can know each other, we can love each other in a personal way, because God's a personal God. Well, in verse 31, Paul says to them, "Therefore, watch
And remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This with tears means he put his whole heart into it. You know, he gave it everything he had. He bled out his heart for people. He kept back nothing that would be profitable to them. He gave it his all. You know, in Thessalonians, Paul says that he and Silas and Timothy were willing not to just give the people the gospel of God, but their own souls. That's the heart of under-shepherding. Yes, I want you to have God's word, and I'm willing to give you anything out of my life that will help you to get there. Anything that I have, whether it's my time, my heart, my ability, my whatever, that will help you to know God and to learn God's word, I want to give that to you, because they were dear unto them, so that they could walk with God. And he said, he night and day, with this great heart, wholeheartedly, he ceased not to warn them. And that was to remind them of God's word and to try to keep them out of trouble. Remember, sheep aren't very good at looking ahead. They just kind of look down and see where the best grass is and wander. And people are like that too. We all are. We get so wrapped up in the day-by-day things. We get in the rut. We're just going through the motions in life that we forget to look at where we're going. And sometimes the way we're going isn't so great. We're not going in a very good direction. And there may be a cliff ahead, or there may be something waiting to attack us that we're not seeing. And one of the things that we do to help each other in the family is we watch. We watch with the word. We watch in prayer, and we share the word with each other. We remind each other of the word. It's really great. You know, the shepherd, what he would do when one of the sheep started to wander off is the first thing he would do is call him by his name and say, "Hey, Herman, come back. You're wandering off. You come on back. We're over here. Stick in here with us where you can be protected and loved and where we can feed you." And then if the sheep still didn't respond, he'd take out his sling and put a rock in it and he'd go, and he'd throw it so it would hit in front of them. So make him look up and go, "What? What? Oh, what am I doing over here? Sorry, I'm coming back." And if he still kept wandering off after you call his name and he didn't come back and you throw a rock in front of him to try to get his attention, then he'd take the sling out and he'd go and he'd gently hit him with the rock. You know, not to hurt him, but just to get his attention. It's like, "Hey, who hit me? What? Oh, sorry. Yeah. How'd I get over here? Sorry. Okay, I'm back." And if the sheep still wandered off, then the shepherd would go after him, go searching for him. Not just let him say, "Well, too bad, you're on your own, tough. You did it to yourself, what do I care?" See, that's not under shepherding. If he wandered off, he'd go looking for it. And if in its wanderings it got hurt, then he would pick it up, speak tenderly to it, carry it back on his shoulders, bring it back, love it, heal it up, pay special attention to it until it was all healed again. We have the doctrine, reproof, and correction of God's word to help God's children with, to help each other with. The doctrine of the word supplies the boundaries within which the flock of God is safe and blessed and has God's abundance. And it shows us when we're wandering outside of that. And that word of God also brings us back into the center of God's love and will and healing. So we've got the word of God to do that with. What we have to supply is the heart to love God's people with that word. And then in verse 32, Paul says, after talking to them, after saying he had declared to them all the counsel of God, he'd held nothing back, he had fed them, taken care of them, loved them, lived with them, healed them, blessed them, fought for them. He says in verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you," or "I commit you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And boy, this is really something, because Paul was about to leave and he knew he was not going to see them again. And not only did he know he was not going to see them and be with them again, but God had shown him that after he left, they weren't going to stand. That they were going to get taken off by bad shepherds, bad leaders, and get led down the wrong path, get hurt, get scattered. And boy, that happens sometimes. We give our lives to try to help people with God's word, and we try to help them with every way we can, and at times our hearts hurt when people turn away from God's word and when they don't stay faithful, even though we've tried our best to do everything we could for them. But we can't let the adversary discourage us. He said, you know what? I commend you to God. God's the one who really has got to take care of you. I'm just a man. I've done my best to give you God's word. I've done my best to love you. You know my heart for you, how I've fought for you, lived for you, loved you in every way I could with God's word. But ultimately, it's God who's got to take care of you. You've got to, you know, live with and for God. And for those of us who do under shepherd and try to help people with God's word, we have to be able to do this too, to let them go to God. It doesn't depend just on us. Yes, we're here to love them and to take care of them and show them God, but it isn't about us, and it doesn't ultimately depend on us. We're there to get them to God, and God is the one who supplies us with the strength and the love to serve people and to shepherd them, even if they don't stand. And God takes care of us, and that goes beyond the fatigue and beyond the roller coaster of emotions that happens when you try to help people. Because God takes care of the shepherd just as he does the sheep. So we've got to be able to do that too. And let's close back in 1 Peter chapter 5. Jesus Christ came to show them God's heart. He's the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. But he's gone. He's gone on ahead to get set up that great pasture, if you want to call it that, if we want to continue the figure of speech, I guess, which we'll be in after the gathering together. And while he's gone, the under-shepherds are responsible to take care, to watch, to love, to bind up, to feed, to protect, to stand in the gap, to stand and be the door, and to show God's heart and concern for people so that they can see God, learn God's word, and find God and tap into him and to the Lord Jesus Christ. To under-shepherd God's people under the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is a great responsibility and a great privilege. And with it, God has promised a great reward for those who decide to do it of a ready mind, those who decide that they want to have that passion to love God's people in this way, to show them God's heart, to be that living, breathing, walking, talking manifestation of God's heart to people so they can know God. It says once again in verse 2 of chapter 5, feed the flock of God. And remember, that's more than feeding. It's the whole office of the shepherd, to feed, to guard, to guide, to lead, to heal, to protect. Shepherd, we should say, the flock of God, 1 Peter 5:2, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not because somebody makes you, not because we're going to get some advantage or benefit to us, but willingly and of a ready mind, with a heart of love to serve. Neither being lords over God's heritage, that's not what we're here to do, but to be examples to the flock so they can want to know God. And, verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, because he's coming back, those who have done this, who have under-shepherded according to his example with the heart of God, shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I don't have a clue what that is, but that's what it says. God will give a special reward, an eternal reward of recognition to those who have manifested his heart to his people and cared for them with the love and tenderness that a shepherd has for the sheep. For that's God's heart that Jesus Christ represented and that we can represent to his people. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life as the good shepherd. And I pray, Father, that we can so live our lives and have that same concern and so manifest your heart toward people that they want to know you and want to know your Son and want to learn your word and want to have all the greatness of what you made available by the accomplishments of your Son. Help us, Father, to carry that heart, that tenderness, that concern, to the end that that word burns within us and that love burns within us and that we just have a burning desire to give it to others so they can know you. And as we do that, Father, thanks that you supply the strength, the love, and everything we need in order to take care of others because you take care of us. Thank you for your wonderful word and your wonderful Son and for being our Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.